Morning, everybody. Before we get started, just out of curiosity, I think I've went around and met a bunch of you. How many people are consider themselves developers? Good, everybody. So this is definitely a development session, so that'll fit just perfectly. How many people are Windows developers, at least primarily, or at least at all? All of you. Well, that's great. That's great. Me too, by the way. So that's terrific. All right, we'll get started. Okay, well, good morning. And I could tell that this group must have been the ones that did not go to the party last night or something. I can't imagine how you guys are here, alert, smiling. Wow, it's great. Okay, my name is Jerry Nixon. I'm a developer evangelist. I work for Microsoft, live in Colorado, and talk about Windows development all the time, specifically or especially around XAML development and stuff like that. I have a lot of training courses on Microsoft Virtual Academy, and if you haven't found MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com already, then you know it's kind of, I kind of refer to it as Microsoft's plural site. It's a free courses, and it's just tons and tons of great content, and it's not limited to only Microsoft technologies either. It's really terrific. So some of you may have seen me on there, and if so, that's terrific. As a developer evangelist, I get to play with a lot of fun things, get to talk about a lot of fun things, and it's kind of cool to be here right now with you guys. We're going to talk about using Windows Pen and Ink to build a more engaging enterprise app, so that's specifically bringing the love to your line of business application in scenarios and use cases and modalities that make your line of business application more engaging, but also makes it really more pressing and more useful to a user that really up until now we haven't had the ability to kind of take advantage of the hardware and software to make it as great as it is. And so I'm going to walk through some of the pieces around why the hardware is amazing, but also of course how to implement this with software. So we're going to step through several different scenarios, and I'd be interested to know if there are scenarios in your mind as well that I don't cover. So we'll get to the end, and one of the things I'd be curious of is how this modality of a pen and what you think it might play out in your specific industry or inside your company. So let's leave it at that for now, and we'll come to it. One of the great things about pen is this is that way of interacting with a computer that you never have to train a user how to use. Absolutely not. Ever since they were in elementary school, they were using a pen. They know how to use a pen. You hand it to them and they start to use it. It's almost as easy as touch, only it's better than touch. And why? Partly because it's so accurate, right? Where your finger may or may not hit the right thing, a pen is so precise and it gives so much fidelity to the experience that it's just a wonderful instrument. It really, where we've come from where we've been, the pen all the way back to like tablet PC, you know, we had a pen, but the experience just wasn't really there, not like it is today. And I'll talk through some of the innovations and some of the engineering feats that we've accomplished to make the experience feel so natural, feel so easy that you're happy to use it. You know, it just feels like a real pen. And so as we're building out Windows inking, we had a handful of goals that just made sense, right? A handful of goals that drove us, and if we didn't reach these, we were really missing the mark. And the first one is that experience, so that when you use this pen, and we'll talk about all the different characteristics that when you engage it that you want and need in order for it to feel like a truly natural experience, including things like just how heavy is the pen, right? Does it feel like a pen or pencil? Does it actually feel, or is it just this weird plastic stylus that's so light you could lose it? Absolutely not, right? You want this heavy feel. You want the barrel to fit properly, just like a normal pencil does. You want this idea of an eraser. Even the clip makes sense, right? There's just something about this that makes it feel so natural, like all the pens you've had in your lifetime and all those hundreds of pens that fill up your junk drawer in your kitchen. Only this one is way high tech. Another issue is now when we're starting to build out Windows inking, one of the things we want to do is make sure we have support for all the device families. So as it makes sense to introduce pen for mobile or for whatever it is, right? We know we have it for desktop. We want to make sure that we build it in such a way that the latency is low, that the requirement on the hardware is also low, and that you have the opportunity to use it regardless of the family. And so that was another core characteristic that as we're building out this framework, we make sure that you have all of the walls broken down so that we can move it to all the different devices. We also wanted to make sure that this is a scalable option, that we're not making you create a bitmap under the scene or anything like that. We want this to be scalable, vector graphics, so that we can do all the things we want to, including enable many of our partners like Adobe, who would use this for Illustrator, who do use this for Illustrator, and give artists the opportunity to do what they need to do. So that was right there on the list from the beginning. Then this is a developer session, so it's worth pointing out that behind the scenes, Microsoft really cares about the way that you use and extend all of the tools that we give to you. And so the developer story is right at the forefront, even at the beginning. Not to make it so that you can use it, because we're all smart enough to be able to code to a pen, but to make it so easy that the barrier of entry and the cost for introducing this into your solution is low, right? So when you approach your manager, when you approach the architect, when you go to recommend that the pen and the ink be part of your application, what you don't have to bring with you is this litany of explanation and selling it, because it's such a big investment. That's not what we wanted, and that's not what we have. You'll see, and we'll go through how you introduce ink into an application, and it's very trivial. Trivial as in simple, not necessarily easy. Right? And so there is work to be done, but at the same time, the API is nice and clean because we built it specifically for developers. And finally, beyond just the extensibility, we wanted to make sure that the pen, that the surface, that the protocol were all world class. Right? We wanted to make it so that from this point forward, we can rely on OEMs and partners. From this point forward, we can build hardware that is at a standard that's just off the charts, and not necessarily a standard that makes every device so expensive that really it's not affordable. So those are some of the things that we wanted, but we kept drilling into how we could use the pen, because this is a special modality, right? It's different than, because you don't have more accuracy than a mouse, but you certainly have more beauty with it than a mouse, right? You have so much control over the arcs and the way things move, but you might think, like what? What type of scenario do we support here? And one of the cool ones we showed at Build was using HoloLens. If you have a HoloLens, the way that it works, if you have Skype, for example, the way that Skype works is you see what the person who has HoloLens on sees. You don't see them. There's no back-facing camera, and which is beautiful because the HoloLens allows you to put things into the real environment. So I'm talking to you and I'm wearing the HoloLens. I walk up here on stage and I ask you, which wire is it that I use to make sure that the audio works? And you see what I see, and you take out your pen and you draw on the screen and you're like, this one right here, make sure you plug it over to this right here. I see it actually there. So I can have this instructional kind of experience with you. You could use a finger, but you don't have the precision of a pen. So you can start doing things with even annotation on the air, right? Really, really cool stuff. You don't need a HoloLens to do that, but that's just one of the possible scenarios. Another one that's really common, and there's just a reality to, we print a lot of paper even still today, right? We can't help ourselves. We know that we want to do it. When I need to take notes, sometimes it's just easier on a notepad. I open up my composition notebook and start to write. That's okay, right? That's great, because after a couple of weeks, I've got a full composition notebook, and that's really handy. But after a couple of months, I've got several composition notebooks, and it's still kind of handy. After a couple of years, I've got so many that I start to just throw them away, because honestly, I can't find information in that many documents. But digital inking gives me a real cool option inside my life, right? As years go by and I start annotating things inside Office, inside OneNote, taking notes, not only is my handwriting there, but because it's able to read the text of my handwriting, I'm able to index that for searching, being able to find whatever I need. It was 3 years ago, 2 months, that I started writing first about the HoloLens, and I can go and search and I can find all of that because all of my notes, all of my annotations now are completely searchable and usable. So I still have the power, I still have the kind of accessibility of using a pen and ink, but I have all the power of a computer as well behind the scenes so that I can back that stuff up. I can bring it with me without having to carry a bunch of notes as well. Even more importantly, when I annotate inside Office, and I think we'll see this as Office begins to really embrace ink, and we're already seeing it, where the annotations I make make an actual change. They aren't just ink overlaid on the document. As I start to make circles, as I start to draw lines, as I do all the copy edit gestures that I'm used to, I see the document start to be impacted by that as well. Because I'm not just using a pen, right? Because I'm using a digitized pen. Okay, when we have great ideas, and we all have great ideas, complexity is usually part of it. As software developers, what do? We stand up in the room, we walk over to the whiteboard and grab the pen. It's a natural way, not only that we express ourselves, but it's also the natural way we start to whittle things down and make complex things understandable to the people around us. Well, that's important. It's important. We're not the only people who are complicated, of course. Engineers need the level of precision that really only a pen can bring. And so now we take the whiteboard and we enable that in a digital way so that we can not only convey what our ideas are, but also rely on the precision and kind of the natural interface that we would have when we're collaborating, when we're explaining, when we're building. We get to use complex applications like CAD and blueprint overlays, all with the pen like we would expect, with the accuracy, not just the free form, but the accuracy of a ruler as well. So there's a lot of benefit in the pen scenario-wise. Now that's on one end of the professional spectrum. There's another side, and StaffPad is an app that's currently in the store, and it does a great job of representing a different perspective on the industry about how I can use the pen to do something that really is almost needlessly impossible with a mouse and keyboard. And so StaffPad is about writing music, and when you think about writing music, what I'm really trying to recognize is another language. I'm trying to recognize a language that's very specific. And so let's take a look and see what this is. Let's see if I can. There we go. So if you use StaffPad, and I'm not quite sure why it stopped right there. That's a beautiful little demo. Well, I don't want to play again, but let me just say that, well, no, I'm going to let it play again because you didn't get to see just how it can take ink motions in your pen and be able to translate that into something specific for one industry. Applications like this, it means a level of precision that's just impossible otherwise. And it also means a natural flow, an interaction, a modality to your application. You start introducing it, users start having the pins, they start doing totally new things that your application really didn't provide for otherwise. The speed and fluidity of that application simply couldn't be done certainly not with a finger, and difficult with a mouse, right? So it's really neat how these scenarios are slowly becoming unlocked because the technology is coming to an age where it is so great. If that's not a word. Another great scenario is kind of the field service. So imagine you're the worker, you're the delivery guy, you're the fireman, you're the construction worker, whatever it is, and you're holding probably a rugged device, right? A device that can get wet, a device that maybe even could take a bullet. And how do you engage with that? Well, one of the ways you could do it was just by touching it, but in a lot of scenarios, that's not a normal way of engaging because For one, you might have gloves on. So let's say you're in an oil field and you're using a device like this and you need to have the level of precision to mark what's going on. You're going to have to take your gloves off. You're going to have to make sure everything is clean. You're going to have a touch experience, or you pull out a pen and you're able to interact with it, not in a way that's special, but in a way that's so normal to you that your application feels like you really are holding that notebook and engaging it, right? So now your user is not only doing what you want them to do, but your user is enjoying your application as well. And as software developers, we don't often get that double whammy. That's really terrific. All right. Another use would be, like, if you are that delivery guy, if you are a mortgage broker and you go to somebody's house and you want to engage them, get those signatures like DocuSign does, and they have this little video.
Customers choose DocuSign because they trust DocuSign. And we picked Microsoft because we trust Microsoft to deliver secure software for our environment. As you probably expect, banks are incredibly trust conscious. In financial services, 10 of the 15 largest banks in the United States are DocuSign customers, and over 1,000 credit unions use us every day. And 13 of the 15 largest insurance carriers in the United States are DocuSign customers.
Okay, so not only are we seeing it showing up with major vendors and major ISVs, but we're also seeing it used and accepted, and this is the way of the future. When President Obama signed in the, the legislation that allowed digital signatures to be valid, and he signed the legislation with the digital pen. It was pretty terrific. Okay, so those are some of the scenarios where you might be able to apply. We'll talk about a couple of more as well. I want to move a little bit into just the hardware. Talk about the pen and kind of how we made this an incredible experience for the user so that you can be proud of what you're building on, right? That's really what it's about. And so we, of course, we put together the Surface, and we have that as a showcase piece of hardware. And so let's talk about first just this pen. The pen itself is a digitizer. It means that it is also an active capacitant digitizer. Specifically, what that means is I've got a battery inside here that powers the whole thing. And that battery is just hidden right inside where you saw it's a quadruple A battery, which I have to admit, my first battery died and I had to replace it. I didn't have a quadruple A battery in my house. I had never even seen one before, but they were particularly easy to come by, but I had to order from Amazon, to be honest. And what this gives us is a lot of control over it. And I'll talk about it in just a minute, but up at the top there's this Bluetooth piece that's also charged by that battery. But it gives me now 1,024 levels of, well, that's terrific. Who did, what? What? There it is. Perfect. Problem solved. Okay. I should have done that at the beginning. That's great. Good. With 1,024 levels of pressure, that allows me to do a lot of things. For one, as a software developer, you may not do anything with it. Just allow it to be there. And the user has, now that the beginning and the end of their strokes look like a real pen, but I can also start applying this into the creative arts where I could use this as a drawing instrument and get the sort of precision and sort of effect that I would expect from a pen when I press harder and harder and I need something new to happen. It also allows you to come up with what potentially could be different gestures and ways of using the pen inside your application. And we'll talk about custom gestures here in just a minute. This has an 18-month battery, and one of the ways that we maintain the battery is through an amazing little piece of hardware inside the pen. A tiny accelerometer that can detect whether or not the pen is actually activated or it's just sitting there in your backpack. That allows it to become dormant and sort of go into a low battery mode waiting for you to pick it up and use it. That's a lot of awesomeness inside a tiny pen, and it's one of the things that enables this 18-month battery to actually work. Now, part of the pen also is the front here. I have the tip. Now, the tip is really important because this is what determines the friction on the glass. The friction on the glass, I don't know if you, just imagine, if you can, what could we use? If we took a rock and dragged it on a glass, right, that would be a bad experience. If you took your fingernails and dragged them on a blackboard, that would be a bad experience. But there's something beautiful and very comforting about taking a pen and putting it to paper, right? It just feels right. Sometimes I like to write even when I'm not writing anything at all because it's just a great feeling. How can we replicate that experience and that feel, and it's really handled with a combination of the glass and the pen tips. And so we have several different pen tips that work on our pen that really determine what the friction is going to be. And we do it in a couple of ways. The harder the tip is, then the faster your pen is going to write on the glass. The softer the tip is, the more control you have as well. So depending on the type of user you are, you might switch back and forth between them. And how do we measure the softness? The exact same way that we do for a pencil. Because in the end, it's the pencil that we're trying to replicate. It's the pen experience that we're trying to give you. And so that's a really great piece. And we talked a little bit about the hardware or the Bluetooth here at the end. We call that the tail button. And the tail button is quite a little feat of engineering. We had to create an experience that allowed users to have an eraser feel, but also gave them the ability to push a little bit harder and have a click experience as well, right? So we wanted to give kind of as much as we could. With Surface Pro 4 and the pen that came with it, we give users the ability to have three things that can happen with the pen, right? I can do a single click, and I can have whatever action I want. Sometimes that, you know, I can control it. I can open OneNote, let's say, double click it, and I can take a screen capture, or I can press and hold, and I can invoke Cortana. And if I don't like those gestures or I don't like the results of whatever I'm doing, I can set those to be myself. Now, what's even cooler is we've simplified the pairing of with our Surface as well. So I get a pen, and I go in and I start to write on my screen. And as I write on my screen, I get this little box that pops up that says, would you like to add this device? And that's the way it engages me to pair my pen with it. So it's really a seamless and easy experience for the user. This is the screen inside settings. This used to be a special app that you would install that would allow you to configure your pen just on the Surface. It's now a default piece of Windows so that everybody can have a similar experience. Now you might say to yourself, well, that's really interesting, but the pens aren't all the same, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. All right, so we talked about in order to give the user that pen experience, one of the most important things is the feel of the pen and the friction of the tip. But there's a problem whenever you're doing this digitally, and we refer to it as parallax. Parallax is the problem of taking the three components of a screen. That's the glass on the top that's there, but we also have the sensor that hears the pen, so to speak, and the display that shows the ink. Those three things together are all required, and the further they are apart, the more the user sees the ink is away from the pen's point, and we don't want that to happen, right? If I'm looking straight down, I don't see anything, but from the side, which is naturally how we look at the whole paper, then all of a sudden I see that my ink is below my pen, and I have this unnatural feel that disassociates this from a real pen experience. And so in the Surface, for example, we've bonded the three so that the experience is far less than a millimeter, and my eye and my brain allows me to really feel and accept this as a pen experience. But there's more to it than that. The hardware itself we are able to leverage so that as you start to draw, as you start to move your pen, the ink keeps up. So that's another piece. So not only where is the ink as it flows out of the pen, but how quickly is it keeping up with the pen as I move it around? So these are all the small little aspects that we have whenever we're trying to create this experience for the user, all done for you already. So we have high-speed cameras that can capture this gap between where the ink stops and the pen is, right? And that's the latency of drawing the ink and responding to the movement of your pen. And we have kind of figured out that this is split down the middle. There are two reasons that you would have this gap. One of the reasons is because the hardware itself has some sort of lag that's causing it so that it cannot receive, process, and draw the ink fast enough to keep up with how quickly you're moving your pen. So that's one of the reasons we offload then to the GPU to be able to bring that together. Then, not everything is on a Surface. Not everything is on Microsoft hardware. We can't always be sure that the type of inking experience is even on a high-end machine. It could be on a pretty low-end machine. The only thing we can control there for you is the software experience. And so that's where most of our work has really gone in, to make sure that the software latency is practically zero. And the goal for doing that is to make it so that it really does look like the ink is flowing right out of the end of your pen. And that's where the Ink Presenter comes in. This is the fundamental foundation of everything that's in Windows inking. And so with the Ink Presenter, we provide not only this low latency experience, but we also have advanced features that allow the ink to look smooth. I'm sure you've been able to sign with UPS or FedEx, and you do your signature only to look at it when you're done and know that this is not your signature, right? There is no possible way this looks like your signature. It's just this weird sort of line thing because it can't keep up with the pen or your finger, and you just accept it and then take your package, right? It's just the way that it goes. But a great experience is where you sign it and it really does look like your signature. And one of the ways we can do that is smoothing these edges. You don't write cursive and do it with all these square edges, right? We smooth those for you, including a predictive engine that allows us to be able to anticipate where you're going next and to be able to draw faster and faster and keep it under your pen that way. The entire thing is handled on a high priority thread dedicated. We call it the inking thread. Everything is dedicated to that. So regardless of what you're doing inside your application, it doesn't impact the user's experience as they use the pen. So this is great, right? I've decided to introduce pen inside my application. My application is a hard worker. I wonder if that's going to make it so the user's experience is bad. The ink presenter makes sure that it isn't. It's the ink presenter that exposes to me the pen, which is that the way that it looks, but we've also introduced now the pencil, a really nice kind of look that kind of looks a lot more like a pencil and has some little speckles inside it, and remains vector-based at the same time. It's the ink presenter that has all the management around all of the strokes, right? We know every stroke, where it began, where it ended, how, in what order it was. The whole collection is inside the ink presenter, allowing you as a developer to go in, remove individual ones, assess individual ones, and we'll talk about how you do that in just a minute. And we also introduced the ruler, and the ruler is an artifact also of the ink presenter. More than likely, you will not engage the ink presenter directly. You may, you know, you certainly can, and this is one of our extensibility points so that you can do whatever it is you need to, but we've wrapped it as well, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. So this is a standard experience with the pen, but what if you are collaborating and you're at the whiteboard? It's not uncommon for the guy who's arguing with you to stand up, grab the other pen, and start changing your architecture around. Well, this multi-pen experience is no problem. It's still supported inside Windows Inking, and you can see it in our Surface Hub where you can go up and use it in different places together for this kind of team collaboration experience. So pen really starts to take on a different altogether paradigm whenever you introduce multiple people at the same time. It's very, very cool. It wasn't that many years ago when Microsoft said that it's going to be difficult to go into a store and buy a laptop that isn't touchscreen. And somehow it's actually turned out to be true. It's pretty hard to find them. It doesn't mean that it's expensive to even have a touchscreen. We're saying the same thing with a pen, and we've got a great story behind it to say that as well, right? We see devices that are pen-enabled going up and up and up, and there's no reason it should stop here either. And one of the reasons is because of the Windows Pen Protocol. The Windows Pen Protocol is open to our partners so that they can come in and build a pen that works on any device, right? We don't want it to matter who made your pen. We don't want you to think, is that a Surface pen, or is that a Dell pen, or is that a Lenovo pen, or is that a Wacom pen, right? Whatever it is, we want you to be able to grab a pen and start to use it on your device. And that's what the reason this protocol exists, and we already have partnerships in place. And I think as we move into the holiday season, you're going to be very impressed on just how many devices are pen-enabled. You're going to be very impressed on the ubiquity of the pen in the ecosystem. And even more important and probably cooler is how inexpensive pens are going to be because of this, right? If you think about the Surface Pen, if I lost this today, I would need to go to the Microsoft store and buy the replacement that works specifically for my device. That's pretty expensive, and one of the reasons it is because I don't have options. Once you have options, the only thing to budge is price, and it's a beautiful thing because you're the winner and your users are the winner as well. We talked about some of those scenarios, like even the delivery guy, and you might think, well, what else can I do? I mean, is there even more that I can go and engage my user with? Are there other modalities that make sense? We talked a little bit about how just engaging your peers and colleagues in a natural way is really great. Forget the fact that you're engineers. What if all you need to do is collaborate? What if I need to have my Surface open, you need to have your laptop open, I need to go over to the Surface and we're moving things around, and you need to give me a certain level of precision and comfort inside your application? Done. Now I have it. At the same time, there's probably a more obvious use for the pen that is... that's on everybody's mind, maybe, maybe, maybe not. So a little bit of research showed that using a pen, not necessarily a digital pen, but using a pen increases comprehension dramatically over typing. Now, why is that? Well, partly because of this kind of visceral interaction with the content and where you're really going after it. I know that I can type blindly and not really think about what I'm doing at the same time. So I get this. And if you think about this in the context of doctors or nurses or especially students, you really start to see how it can apply and benefit students in maybe the educational space. And so we use my daughters. I have three daughters. And my daughters have, of course, they have Windows devices and ink-enabled devices as well. And amazingly, I see them use it in ways that I don't expect. Of course, that's right. And to see them doing their homework on their device, writing out their math, and then submitting that to their teacher is pretty awesome. I mean, there's no getting around it because, you know, I mean, they're pretty young. They actually don't type all that fast, but they can write really quickly, and they can do their math calculations really well. And so it's really cool to see that happening, as well as be able to keep track of all of their homework because they're doing it in one digital place, right? There's a lot of benefit there. But also for teachers, teachers can then see the work that they're doing. Teachers can submit back work using the pen. And so here's a video that kind of shows that there's a huge change in the paradigm of kids today. And as we go forward, we'll see it's even more.
We live in the 21st century, but when we walk through the schoolhouse doors, we revert back to 1950. That type of mentality's got to change. It really is an expectation for students to be tech savvy, to have accessibility not just to technology, but to quality tech. We live in the 21st century, but when we walk through the schoolhouse doors, we revert back to 1950. That type of mentality's got to change. It really is an expectation for students to be tech savvy, to have accessibility not just to technology, but to quality technology.
This last year, we purchased a little over 2,000 Surfaces for teachers and for students. Every single one of those runs Windows 10, and we've also moved the rest of the services that we had bought previously to Windows 10.
What's crazy about stories like this isn't that buying a couple of thousand Surfaces and having them at the school for your students is amazing. It's not. This is more of a commonplace story where schools are catching up to where things are headed, catching up to the way that their students already experience technology at home. Right, they already have this experience, and now we can bring it to them. The pen is that modality that makes not only comprehension better, which is terrific in the educational setting, but the engagement is natural as well. What's the one thing about the pen that we love? We love that we don't have to train users how to use it, right? Because you already know. Another place that you might expect it would be in healthcare. We talked about how doctors in their terrible handwriting love the pen. It just really seems to flow. But imagine this scenario. You are a patient. And you go in and the doctor is about to explain something to you that's a big deal, right? And your brain is maybe or maybe not totally focused. He's up there and he's explaining, he's maybe even marking up a photo. And at the end of that, he says, are there any questions? And the only question you might need to ask is, can you email that to me? And because he's using a digital pen, because he's creating a digital experience, he says, no problem. He can share that right with you so you can reference it later when you're clearer of mind. It only makes sense to be able to do that. It only makes sense to be able to enable all of these new scenarios, not because they're easier, but because they're better. And because in the end, we care about our users. We know that the user experience is important. We know that we're in a cosmic battle with the uninstall button all the time. And adding this new engagement, adding this new modality makes our application more compelling, makes users love it more, makes it so that our application has that much more distinctive value in the ecosystem as well. Here's a cool scenario around the Navy Marine Corps relief system.
The Nightingale solution allows the nurses to focus on the patient during the visit. We don't have to worry about remembering what they said so we can write it down later. We are focused entirely on them. That really enables us to pay attention because so many times, it's not what they say, it's the body language while they're saying it. And if you're looking at a piece of paper, you're missing most of what's going on. That has made a big difference for the patients.
There's something special about the natural input of a pen that allows me to engage. If let's say an emergency worker is talking to you and they ask you a couple of questions, they set down their laptop, pull out the keyboard, and they start to type. All of a sudden, it's not only intimidating, but there's this new barrier of communication between me and them. However, if they pull it out and they start to write, there's something smooth and easy, and there's no barrier between us anymore. They're still able to capture what it is that they need. Just like these nurses, they're able to capture what it is that they need. But at the same time, they're still engaging me without this new barrier and this, you know, the screen that's there in between us because the keyboard needs something to rest against. Whatever, right? All of those things are great and they have their place, but the pin really enables new scenarios and unlocks opportunities that we really didn't have before to make our applications even better. Earlier we talked a little bit about artists. Now, there's a group of people, when I hold a pin up like this, they don't see a pin at all. When I hold up a pin, they see a paintbrush. And they are able to create things, and they are professional painters who don't know what paint smells like because their entire life has been digital, because they cut their teeth with a pen like this, would they be a Wacom pen, and they have always been drawing only on computer. They have the experience of painters because they still have this idea of paint that's wet or paint that's dry, and they have all the colors blending together, but at the same time, it's a digital experience as well. So where we were seeing one industry and then we go to another industry, here's yet another industry that has its own special language enabled by the same device, giving them the same control and fidelity they would want, all in something that is slowly becoming so ubiquitous and so inexpensive and so easy to add to your application as well. We did something pretty cool a couple of nights ago, and some of you may have actually been there. We had a party out on the street, and it was a kind of a head-to-head drawing party. It was pretty cool, actually, where on one side it was one artist, on the other side was another. There were two surfaces sitting there, and they would start to draw, and the people in the audience, there's a DJ in the middle, I'll show you kind of how it goes, and they start to draw, and you get to see exactly what it is they're doing, and then the audience votes to see which one is better, and it's a fun time. But what was amazing about it is these artists come up, and right there is Adobe Illustrator. They're used to using Adobe Illustrator. There's the surface, there's the pen. They don't need to have somebody explain to them how to use a pen. They don't need to explain to them how to draw. They just pick up the pen and start to use it in the most natural and easy way. It was an awesome event. It was really awesome. How many people did go to that event? Andy and I were there. Nice. Okay, well, you missed out on a great party. All right, so now, let's back up. The scenarios make sense. The hardware is impressive, but the developer experience is what matters in the end. Right, we need to justify that the overall cost of introducing a pen inside our application and moving in this direction for this modality is not only great, but it's also rightly priced and scoped for the work that is required to introduce it. So let's talk first about the Ink Canvas. We talked about the Ink Presenter as the foundation for everything that has to do with Windows Ink. The Ink Canvas is that XAML control that you drag from your toolbox onto the canvas so that you can have inking on it, right? The implementation of Ink Canvas is remarkably simple. It's a single, I'll show you in a demo in just a second. It's a single tag and easy to use, and it's just a standard XAML control. Doesn't introduce any extra libraries or anything like that. Ships with the WP platform like you would expect. But it is built on the Ink Presenter, as you'll see everything is going to be. One of the things that it can do is it can save it, and it takes stroke information and puts it in a file, and what's that file format? It's a GIF format that includes the ISF information. It's embedded in it. So that's pretty cool because it allows me to find that file, open it up, and get a preview. And even as not as high fidelity as vector art actually is, it allows me to see what those strokes are, and it embeds those and hides those. So as I take those and I load them back into the Ink Canvas, I can give a user session-to-session experience without losing the context of what they had. So they can come in as they're writing something, they can come back and see those strokes there again. I can even propagate those strokes into other applications as I need to, because all I have is the raw data information that is given to me by the Ink Canvas. The Ink Canvas also has touch support, because there are going to be times when you lose your pen. There are going to be times when the hardware you have simply doesn't support a pen, and you've got to give options to your users. There's no pen. Okay, well, just ink with your finger. It's no big deal. And you may not have the fidelity of before, but at least you have options. That's enabled here. We can use the ink canvas and set the mode either way, right? Or both, whichever way we want it to be. One of the core things to make a pen work is to make sure that as the user sets their hand down on the glass and starts to write, that their palm isn't writing, right? So we call that palm rejection. As I set my palm down and I'm ready to write with my pen, the underlying system detects that, and it is a tremendous capability of Windows to be able to detect that palm and reject it. That's what really enables us to have the ability to enable touch, to enable pen, and then to have simultaneous pen and touch that we'll talk about here in just a minute. The ink canvas, in the end, is really just projecting up the ink presenter, and that's the reason you have such low latency as the user is drawing it as well. Okay, what does the XAML look like whenever I add the ink canvas? I don't want to overstate this and say it's just one line of code, because in all reality, it's not just one line of code. It is just one line of code to have the canvas. From this point forward, and I'll show you in a demo, the user can start to ink on top of your application, and it is sort of beautiful. It really is. But there's nothing actually happening with it. I'm not loading any ink. I'm not saving any ink. All they're doing is drawing over your application, but it really is this straightforward. It's right on top, and you can handle things like hit targets and move things out of the way to make sure that the Z index is right and give the user whatever they want. Doesn't require a certain size, doesn't require a certain anything. You're in control of that. But when I do load ink, one of the ways that, the way to do it is, and I'll show you, it's right here, the ink canvas is there at the bottom, inkcanvas.inkpresenter.strokecontainer.loadasync. That's really important. Those sections at the top are just me going to find the file. Whatever that GIF file is that has that ISF embedded in it, I go and get it, and then I just say, please load it, and I load it from its stream. It's easy enough. From that point of view, I suppose it's only one line, but it is a handful because you want to do some checks inside to make sure things are stable. Saving the ink is just as easy. I go and create the target file that it's going to go to. That's a storage file. From that, I can get its stream, and from that, I can call save async to the stream, exactly like you would expect. So in a way, it's just one line of code again, but you do these checks to make sure your application is reliable. Okay, maybe this will be better with the demo. I have a demo here with Visual Studio. And so this is Visual Studio. I have a project already open. This is a UWP application that's completely empty. It has nothing. The first thing I'm going to have to make sure is that I'm targeting the correct version. The features we're talking about were introduced in 14.3.93. 14.3.93 is the anniversary update, and XAML changes in the platform aren't backwards compatible. So that means these changes are going to be required, and it'll make your application specific to the anniversary update, which is not that big of a deal. So let me pull up the main page. So you can see it's ready to go. There's no UI at all, just the grid. And from here, I can add that inking canvas. Now, it's important to give it a name because I'm going to use it later, but I don't have to give it a name. It would just work. In fact, if I don't add any functionality right now and I were just to run it, the capabilities of the ink canvas are pretty cool. Gives the user a good experience even without any functionality around it. Sometimes this might actually be a great way to add notes and things like that as well. So I could write right on my application. There it is. As soon as I close this application, though, all the inking that I just added is lost. So if I were to jump to the code behind that page, now when it loads, which is the on-navigated to, I'm going to paste this in, and this is the same logic I just showed you in the file, or in the slide, right? This is where I go and get the file, whatever that GIF file is that has that embedded ISF in it. And then what I do is I open a sequential read async, and then inside that ink canvas, I go to its ink presenter. Inside that ink presenter, I go to its stroke container, and inside that stroke container that has all the ink, I say load async. It goes to find those ISF, goes to get that ISF information, and then writes it into it, or reads it into it. Unnavigated from is how I'll save it. So as the user comes and goes, I'll make sure that it's there. I don't save it if there are no strokes, so I'll check to see if there are any. And then I'll set up that target file that I'm going to save it to. Just like before, it's inside the same namespace. I just call save async. That's all I have to do. This is the same logic you saw on the slides. If I run this application now, it'll have a different experience for the user for sure. So it'll show up and the ink canvas is completely blank. I can start to draw on this, whatever it is that I want. It's a free form for the user in an open canvas. And as soon as I draw this, now I can decide, okay, I'm going to close this application. And closing this application, it will run my onNavigated from logic and save it out to that GIF file. Now, if I were to rerun this application again, the load async will run inside onNavigated too and bring in that same ink. Now, that's simple. That you could handle that in logic that is based on a timer. You could handle that in logic that's based on a click from the user. You could handle it based on workflow inside your application, whatever makes sense to you. Or you can do it like this, when they bring it in and take it away. So with the anniversary update, one of the cool things we announced was simultaneous touch and ink. This creates a whole new set of magic that you can leverage, right? Because now all of a sudden with one hand, I'm doing, so we also showed the ruler, and the ruler is a great example of this. On one hand, I can use my fingers to manipulate where the ruler should go, and on the other hand, I'm using the pen to be able to draw the straight line. But I can do even more than that, and one of our teams inside Microsoft Research did some experiments to be able to see some of the things that you could do. In fact, so here are two people simultaneously using a whiteboard. Each one of them is doing different things. You can see the guy on the left is anchoring the ink with his finger and then drawing with his pen. Then he can go in and make small annotations. Each one of them is drawing, and each one of them is wearing a Microsoft band to identify who's drawing which line. Now you can see with that pen, they can both mark it, change its color, change its size, because they bring up a new menu with their hand. But they're able to interact with it with the pen. So in this case, they're taking the handwritten words or labels that they created, and they're moving those into real font and doing the recognition. And then they can come in and use their hands naturally, like you would expect in dragging and dropping things around. Each of these is just an idea of how you might use it, but because now we support simultaneous touch and ink, you're able to do things that only you can dream up. New innovations that differentiate your application in the ecosystem so that you're able to not feel limitations because things aren't enabled, right? You can do it from this point forward. Does this make sense for your application? It very well might, but it may not. But if it does, now you have the availability to it. So that's the ink canvas. The ink canvas will support this. Obviously, you're going to do a little bit of work if you're going to come and add multi-touch or simultaneous touch and inking. But here's that opportunity to really do something novel and innovative inside your application. So that was the ink canvas. We also have the ink toolbar. There are some basic things that everyone wants to do inside their canvas. Things like switching to a different color, things like switching to a different pen, using an eraser, things like showing the ruler, right? And all of that you would think would be a small set of APIs that you'd be able to enable on your canvas. But even that's not the way we're going to do it. We do it with the toolbar. It's another XAML control that all we do is associate it to your canvas. And from that point forward, it does all the work, enabling all the core features that you would have to write yourself. So if you were using inking in the past, let's say, year and a half, you know that we have already shipped a toolbar that you could use as a NuGet download and kind of enable this. But even then, there were limitations. Even then, it wasn't a great experience. Now it's part of UWP. You just say ink toolbar, associate it to your canvas, and you get all this functionality around it. So how do you add it? Well, it really is this simple. I don't want to make it sound too simple, but the ink toolbar is actually very, very simple. I put it on the same page. I put it in the same visual tree. I put it near or next to the ink canvas, and I make this target ink canvas associate down to wherever that ink canvas is. One of the great things about the ink toolbar is it allows me to add new buttons to it. So I can add custom buttons, I can add custom interactions, whatever's right for me in my application. I can remove some of those buttons because I'm not interested in the highlighter. I can remove a button because I don't want the user to use a ruler. Whatever is right for you, you can. And if I need to add a button that instead of a ruler, now I need to use like a French curve, or I need some other sort of way of interacting with a protractor or a compass or something like that, I can add that to the toolbar without having the toolbar as well as my toolbar. So that was one of the issues with the early on toolbar, and now we've extended it and made it extensible for you. So let's check this out in a demo of using it. This is an easy and simple demo where I'll pick up where we left off. So remember, we had this ink canvas. All I need to do is add the ink toolbar. Specifically now, I have to go to the target ink canvas, and I can use XBind just to point out where my ink canvas is. This is the only thing I really need to do. I'm going to make sure this goes up to the top so it's not in the middle of the page. And if I ran it right now, you'll see that the full toolbar interaction is complete, right? I can do everything I want. It's not customized, but it works perfectly and immediately makes the default actions around my canvas look different. So in this case, I can go in and I can pick the highlighter. So if I wanted to color something like this little planet here, right? And I can change the colors. I can use pencil and pen, and I can come in, draw however it is I want, even go in and use the eraser to remove it if I want to. And so if I wanted to switch over, I could show that the eraser then, I could remove the stars around it, right? Because this fully understands the ink presentation underneath it. I can switch over, and if I decide that the pencil is the right thing for me to use, the pencil really looks great. It has a gradient feel to it, and it's just different than the pen. You can see the pen is nice, solid, dark black. It's the thing that you like to write with for sure. But you know, as an artist, or depending on how you're taking notes, that pencil might actually be the thing that looks the best. Now, how do we enable the ruler? The ruler is just part of the toolbar. If the user goes in and just selects the ruler, then it's their fingers that they move it around with, and the system is built so that the inking just follows along the ruler. Even if you were to create a custom ruler for whatever reason, it allows me to have that precision that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise. And it gives me the opportunity to introduce new types of pieces that are specific to my application. So maybe a straight line isn't the right thing, but maybe it is. And how do I implement that? The toolbar is the easiest way to do it. Custom drying mode is when, as a developer, I finally hit a limitation. The out-of-the-box capabilities of Windows inking is just not enough. What I need to be able to accomplish now is special, right? I am going to be writing Adobe Illustrator, and I use just the out-of-the-box. It just doesn't do enough. I'm going to be writing Fresh Paint or something like that, where I just need to do some really sophisticated things to the ink that's coming out. And so we talk about ink in two ways. We talk about ink as the wet ink, And I'll tell you what that is in just a second. We also have dry ink. And there's wet ink, dry ink, and your application is in between. And so wet ink is where we say to the presenter, we need this to be fast. We need this to look good. We need it to come right out, all the ink to come right out of the point of the pen. And so wet ink is fast. It is low latency. And there's a limitation to exactly what you can do with wet ink, because we need to make sure the user's experience is paramount, and the interaction that you have with the ink is secondary, so that the user doesn't have any sort of lag because of what you're doing to it. So my pen goes down onto the glass, I start drawing whatever it is, and that ink is wet ink. I lift my pen, and it immediately becomes dry ink. Now I can do anything to it. There's a whole eventing system behind it, and I can change that ink to be whatever it is I want. Your application is in between, right? Your application is the one that says, the line that you just drew, or the ink that you just drew, looks to me like a line. I'm going to change that to be a nice straight line, because in our application, straight lines are what we use, right? Beautiful. You can absolutely do that. You allow the user to have that fluid experience with wet ink, then you engage that. So I'm in there making as many annotations on my music as I can. As I do that, those are wet ink, so it feels like I'm actually drawing on the page. Then I decide, is it as the user lifts up, as they move to the next measure, whatever is appropriate for me, I interpret then the ink that they've just done and apply it in my application, whatever's specific to it. Right? So I have this idea of wet ink, so it's nice, low latency and fluid, and I have this idea of dry ink that's after my application has processed and made it do whatever it needs to do. That's using custom drying, right? My ability to interact it. This is the extensibility point. This is also the place where if I have an enormous canvas. So think about how OneNote works. You can scroll forever on a single page. As you do that, there's a performance implication there, just like you would have with many, many records inside an application too. And so how do I handle this virtualization? How do I make it so it goes well? It's through custom drawing that I do that too. Now, selection is a big deal. And you might think, well, all I need to do is select my ink and I'm ready to go. But what if you have a complex application where I need to select both the ink and the objects that I've dragged into that context? So my canvas now has a couple of shapes that I've added to it. It has an image as well. And whenever I draw a box around it, I want to select the ink that I've annotated, but I also want to select the box or the images also. Well, how do I do that custom selection? That's through custom drawing. That's through this custom drawing and the custom canvas that you're going to be interacting with, right? This is, in the end, Win2D is going to be enabling this for you. Finally, if I need advanced capabilities like snapping my shapes or flowing my shapes or flowing my ink with the text as it moves because it's anchored in one way or another, all of this is accomplished in the same way. So I have an application installed here. And let me see. Here we are. I have this nice little SDK demo that you guys can get as well. This is called the Complex Ink Sample, and you can get it right off of GitHub. And so if I were to go in and I was going to write, let me see here. Okay. All right, so I go and ink whatever it is that I'm going to ink, and then I start dragging on objects, whatever those might be. And so one of the things you can see is that the objects are actually in front of my ink. That was a decision that I get to make. Because of the way that my application works, perhaps the Z-index is determined by time or something that the user does as well, the inking can then go behind. But then I can start inking on top of that, and you can see some of the ink is in front of the object, some of the ink is behind the objects. How do I get this variation of the Z order of my inking? It's because as the user is drawing, they get this wet ink and this beautiful experience, and then I decide where it belongs in the Z-index. I decide what to do with it from there. Custom drawing, this complex ink sample. It's funny because it makes it sound like ink is complex, but anyway, the complex ink sample, you can download it on GitHub. Check it out for yourself in the handful of lines in order to get it done as well, and as well as complex selection as well. It's pretty cool stuff. All right. That's custom drawing, which is interesting to talk about something so physical in a digital context. Now, as the user starts to write, one of the things that you need to enable in your application is to make that inking very, very valuable. And the first way you can do it is to be able to make it searchable, or to be able to make it indexable, or to be able to make it so that it can be referenced. And in order to do that, I need to be able to take my handwriting and turn it into text, turn it into the actual thing that I was writing. So in my case, I'd be writing and I want it to turn into English. But we support 58 other locales and languages that you can use recognition depending on handwriting recognition that's currently installed in Windows. Handwriting recognition, by the way, is a feature of Windows, not inking. Inking is just the inking part, and they hand off to each other, but they expose them both through each other's API. We may be the second to the last generation that can actually write in cursive. Isn't that amazing to think? It won't be long until you can go and you can write something cursive on the whiteboard, and it'll be like a secret code to the people in the audience, and they'll have no idea what you just did. It's absolutely amazing. But script or print, they will both work for handwriting recognition. But what if your handwriting is just awful? What if you really should have been a doctor? Well, it turns out that doing handwriting recognition also gives you back candidates so that you can, if it's important, you can present to the user, I have three possible things for this word, but I can guarantee that this is what, right? The confidence is so high, I know I have the second word. Let me have you pick this one as well. As well as the bounds and location of where the ink was, so as I'm starting to recognize it, I can put the text back in the same location so they don't lose the context of what they were doing as I start implementing recognition, or maybe I even hide it. The API for interacting with the recognizer, it's called the Ink Recognizer Container. It's part of UWP, nothing else you need to really add. And this is the way that it works. First, you see whether or not there are any strokes, right? Container.getStrokes just gets all the strokes and to check if there are any or not. Then using the Ink Recognizer, I just call Recognize Async. In this case, you can see I'm passing in all of what to recognize. That means all the strokes figure out what I've written with every stroke. But I can also mark strokes as selected or not selected, And then I can say only the selected strokes as well. So I can start containing, controlling that the way that I want it to be contained. Cool. Then at the bottom, you format it however it is that's right for you, right? That one's special for the demo that we have. Okay. I'm going to end this again and drop over to Visual Studio again. And, okay, so let's see. I'm about to show you the recognizer, right? I have that same code in my code behind, but let me create a button. Read, let's say. And I'll vertically put it at the top, and I'll horizontally put it at on the right. And its click will be to read click, which is the method from our slide. So now it's ready, but I want to show you what that text is. And so let me make a quick text block. And I'll vertically put this one at the bottom and horizontally at the right. And I'll change its size to be maybe 30. And finally, I'll give it a name of my text block. There we go. Okay, so we just added two things to our demo, right? The first one was the button that we click, and the second was the text box that'll show the recognizer, the recognized text. I'll just jump to the code behind here so you can see what we've got. So these are the methods we had earlier. I added this method, this read click. This is right from the slide. Remember, we checked to see if there are any strokes in the first place. If there are, then I create my recognizer and I call recognize async. That's all the work that's there. From there, it hands back an enumerable that I get to process from there. So in this case, I'm just going to format the first recommendations. So even if I have really bad handwriting, I'm just going to take whatever the first thing is of each of the words in the ink and then just put that into the text block for me. If I were to run this right now, which is what I'm going to do, it'll all look the same, right? It'll be that, maybe it'll be the, let me erase my work here. Who knows what that would be translated into. I'll jump to a pin, and I'll say hello, right? And then I'll say read, which I put behind the canvas so I can't hit it. So you might want to get some penmanship. Here I am making fun of everybody who can't write. Let's see. Let's try that again. H-E-L-L-O. Nice. Hello with the slash. Don't be too fancy about it, too. Let's try a nice, sophisticated one here. Merle list. Now, I don't mind telling you that I did practice this because I was trying to make sure they didn't pick words that would be accidentally. Then muralist didn't come up in my test either. And I told myself, don't just pick words randomly. But here I am. if you've used OneNote, by the way, OneNote is really beautiful because OneNote does the text translation for you, but it doesn't take the ink away. And as you do a search, it highlights your actual handwriting. It's really a beautiful thing. Anyway, hopefully what you get out of this is that I can do text recognition without adding anything new to it, and the number of lines so hopefully feels pretty trivial. Now, it does mean that your application will probably introduce a little bit of logic to make sure things work well and make sure that the user has the option to correct anything that might not be done correctly, and even more importantly, that your read button is on top of the canvas so you can actually press it instead of doing what I had to do there. So beautiful. All right. That's recognizer. Beautiful. Handwriting recognition is a big deal, right? It makes your application pretty cool and it makes the inking really valuable. There's another idea around gestures. So it doesn't have anything to do with text. This says that I'm using pen for a lot of precision. I'm using pen perhaps for handwriting, but I'm also using pen because I want the user to do something. When they slash through an item that's a to-do on their to-do list, maybe that is the gesture I recognize so that I check it is done. Maybe when they do an L shape, when they do the delete, whenever they're copy editing something, whatever that is, I can respond to it. There are a series of common gestures, and the gesture recognizer can do that and find those for you, as well as be extended to recognize custom gestures as well that may be appropriate. So if you're like, wow, I'll tell you one thing I want to do with the pin, all of a sudden it's going to be the gesture recognizer that enables those fun scenarios. A lot of you may have applications that you've already written. Windows Presentation Foundation applications, Win32 apps, line of business applications where the investment has already been made. And the idea of moving it over to UWP is extremely compelling, but you know there's a long calendar time until you hit that because you've already spent your $6 million budget building this application already. And maybe Windows 10 isn't the standard inside your company, and so that's not the option. So you're looking at this and you're saying, man, I love inking. Man, I love this capability. Will it work in Win32? And the answer is yes, it will work in Win32. And there's a couple of ideas. If I do move it over in that, can I still take advantage of things like the store? Can I still take advantage of things like push notifications? And you can. You can do that with or without the store, right? You can add those natively by using, it's going to require Windows 10, of course. And then I can use the Centennial project to take that same application, wrap that up inside a UWP container, put that into the store, and deliver it with all the capabilities that the store provides me as well. So you have a lot of options there. Each of them has inking as an option inside it as well. So that was a great announcement when we brought that down. We had inking already, by the way, in WPF, but it just wasn't the same, right? It just wasn't good enough. And even though it was there, and at the time, we thought it was good enough because it was the best we had. Now that we see what inking can really do, right, when it's dispatched off into the proper threads and done properly, we can see what inking, we look back at what we had at WPF, and it's just a teeth-grinding experience because it's beautiful now with Windows inking. Now that Windows inking has kind of come of age, you start to see it more utilized inside the operating system itself, and so we're diving in as well. So you see the technology is there, you see the hardware is there, and you also see now Windows is embracing this, Office is embracing this, and let's kind of talk about how you might use it maybe inside Windows. So this little video shows how I can open up the inking workspace, which gives me these stickies. And from the stickies, I can create a new one. Instead of typing, I can write them in. And just like we talked about before, it recognizes the text and is able to, in context, make the inking valuable, right? Because I wrote a location, because I write a time, because I swipe through something, whatever is appropriate, this is able to detect it just like your application could, making inking more and more valuable. But perhaps the best thing to take from this is making it so that users are expecting the capabilities of the pin. So as I start introducing the pin into my application, more and more capabilities are already in Windows. We're going through the effort of training users on how to use the pin and all of its beautiful capabilities in ink and making it more accessible. So Microsoft Edge, that's our browser we introduced in Windows 10, also has inking now built in. It's pretty brilliant, if you don't mind saying so myself. Let me just show you real quick. So let's say I have a browser open. Let me see, I'm still projecting here. All right, let's say I go into a browser. So here's Edge, and I have this new button up here, right? This little guy right here, make a web note. So this is the web note capability of Edge. As soon as I have that purple bar shows up, and it reminds me a lot of my experience in OneNote, and that's on purpose. So I can go in and immediately I have the pin, so I can start annotating, like I definitely do not want to use this word, or I could go in and I could say, okay, for a highlighter here, I want to make sure this section, and most importantly, I want to make sure this section gets moved over here, and this entire block I want canceled out. So imagine what I just did. You're going to have to write that in an email. All of the steps, okay, it's the third sentence minus this one word, the word, and you want to change that. Take away and fit all of these things, and a picture is worth 1,000 words, no doubt about it. So then I can take it from here and I can share it, and I can put this over, I can put it in OneNote or I can put it in email, whatever makes sense for me. So if I do have OneNote, so here's that same, let's see. It'll pop up right there, right? No, it's right there. It popped up. What am I talking about? Right? So I can then from there I can add even more inking or whatever's right inside my email or inside OneNote, share it. collaborate with whatever is right for me. All because it's built in right there. You're going to see inking built into more and more applications. Here's a beautiful one. Check this out. This is a capability of OneNote that's just genius. So I go in here and I write. By the way, my kids use this constantly. I can go in, and if I, oh no, I want to select it. Let me use the barrel button here. I select it and click on math. Right? It recognizes that this is the square root of 64 over 2. And perhaps the coolest of all, it also recognizes that it evaluates down to 4. So just imagine you're in math class and, oh my gosh, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. We're on the shoulders of giants these days. Okay, so this is how I use it inside OneNote. This is how I use it inside Edge, right? What am I using? I'm using Windows Inking, the same technology that you're going to introduce into your application. Users are becoming used to it. The pen is becoming ubiquitous. It's absolutely fantastic. All right, so let me back to slides so I can wrap up here for you. There we go. Great, that was that. Here we are inside OneNote. I showed you how you can use that. We see it showing up inside Office. We see Office really embracing it, really making it so that inking is a compelling experience, really more than just annotation. I don't know if you've seen what we can do inside the map, but it's very, very cool. This is where we can use wet and dry ink, and in between, while it's drying, I can mark it as an actual distance, measure it based on its pixel size, and give you a calculation of maybe the distance that you drove, or the distance that you drew, I mean, or about to drive. So looking back, it's not just the hardware. We know that we have pushed and pushed for the hardware to be excellent and world class. We know that we want the user's experience to feel like they're holding a pen and having a writing experience, but we also wanted the developer to be able to trust the software, to be performant enough, to be able to run across all the different devices that they want it to run on as well, and for us to enable you to be able to interact and introduce inking inside your application in a low-cost way, right? In a great way. So that's where the inking protocol gives us the pen, but it's the inking canvas that gives you the capability inside your application, inside your XAML application, really easy. And if you don't have a XAML application, you can still take advantage of a lot of these capabilities along the way. You can build that custom canvas, extend it the way that you need to, and we're taking the lead, putting inking on the forefront of Windows so that the users start to experience pen, start to become accustomed to pen, start to become used to and even relying on this pen experience before they even get into your application, so that as you also introduce it, it's a comfortable place for them to be as well. We talked through a lot of the different scenarios, and I'd be interested if there are extra scenarios that are in your mind as well. There's so many ways to use these different modalities of touching and ink and all of these things as well. Anyway, this is Windows Ink. That's it. Thank you. I have a few minutes here to take I have 2 minutes, actually, if anybody has a question about Windows Ink. Yes, ma'am. You know what? It might be great if you go to the microphone, if you don't mind.
I just have a question about its integration with Office. Is that Office 365 or is that like Office 2016?
It's both.
It's both?
Yeah, okay. It's both. There are a lot of features that are only in Office 365, you know, that are introducing, but inking isn't one of them, at least not yet. Inking's both. Also, the mobile versions of Office have it as well. Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody.